course, we focused
Thank you, gentlemen.
Quite a bit on the Lord during Holy Week and through these six Sundays of the Pascha season.
You get your own special day.
And there's a certain point that I want to make today, and this deals with Christ. And it says in the scripture that he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "The Father, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." Through this passage, we hear of the Father and the Son glorifying each other. Through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are taught the importance of glorifying God. There are many ways of glorifying God and to bring glory to Him. I have outlined five specific ways which I would like to share with you today. If indeed we can incorporate these five steps in our lives, we can show God the glory He deserves from all of us. The first is to worship Him. It's what we've just done. Worship is our main responsibility to God. In Scripture, we read that we should use our whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Using our five senses in the liturgy and other church services is certainly a good start in how to worship God. However, it doesn't stop there. But since we're speaking about the senses, let's go into a little more detail. First, sight. You have just seen the divine liturgy unfold before your eyes. You have seen entrances and exits. You have seen acolytes representing angels coming out and bringing the light of Christ to all. You have seen the gospel, which begins, of course, with Christ's ministry. When he brings forth the gospel out, we are beginning Christ's ministry in his 30th year of life. We've been hearing sound. That's number two. The hymns of the church, the beautiful hymns that we just heard, the petitions. We heard the epistle and gospel readings from the scriptures. So we have sight and we have sound. We also have smell. We place incense on the burning coal. The burning coal represents you. If the coal is out, then it is not burning, it is not lit, it is lukewarm. But a burning coal represents you, the faithful. And we place incense on it, and we smell the incense, the smoke, the fragrance, the beautiful fragrance of the incense. We taste. Most of us today received Holy Communion. And it's that warm taste of the communion of the body and blood of Christ that is indwelling within us. And we feel that warmth when we receive it. So we have sight, sound, smell, and touch. Taste. And finally, we have touch. We touch ourselves when we make the sign of a cross, when we kiss the icons, when we come in contact with these beautiful images of God. So all of these things are used. It's not just me standing up here and preaching. We're all busy. Liturgia means the work of the people. Other forms of worship include praying, both corporally and privately to Him, singing, praising, bowing, and kneeling to Him. Let us pause here and ask a few questions. Do we ever stop and thank God when we receive good news? Because we get good news all the time, don't we? Do we ever just take a moment and say thank you to God? It is so important. A lot of times we'll make a pact. We'll say something like, God, if you give me this, I promise I'll go to church every Sunday for the rest of the year. The next Sunday, you're sleeping. So let's not make pacts unless we can keep them. It's very important to thank God for all that we have, and it is abundant. Do we ever get down on our hands and knees to pray to God? We really should. This shows deep reverence. Do we ever reverently bow our head when we're doing or making the sign of our cross, or praying before icons, or even as we have been teaching you to do a matanya, to reach down to the floor and show your true humility and come up and make the sign of the cross? These are all acts of worship that we can use to express glory to God. Second is to bring glory to God by loving others. We were all born into God's family. Following Christ is not just a matter of believing. It also includes belonging and learning to love the family of God. As St. Paul wrote, accept each other just as Christ accepted you, then God will be glorified. It is thus our responsibility to learn and understand how to love as God does. Because as we know, God is love. And by loving as He does, we pay God the honor He deserves from us. Jesus taught us this when He said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We next bring glory to God by imitating Him. Since we are members of His family, God wants us to grow spiritually. We must think, feel, and act like Christ. We can even ask ourselves questions like, what would Christ do in this situation? Or would God be pleased with what I am about to do? Just the other day, Angela Merkel was delivering a speech to Harvard at their graduation. And she told them to stop and to think before acting and before speaking. And I just saw that one little clip, but it made an impression on me. Why don't we do the same? When something happens to us, we immediately blurt something out and we regret it. Or we do an action that we wish we hadn't done. It's good to stop and slow down and to think before we react. In the Bible, we read, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. The fourth way to glorify God is by serving others with our gifts. Each one of us was uniquely designed by God with talents, gifts, skills, and abilities. God did not give us our gifts for selfish reasons. They were given to benefit others, just as others were given abilities for your benefit. St. Peter wrote in his first epistle, God has given gifts to each of you from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow from you. And he continues, are you called to help others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then God will be given glory. Finally, we bring glory to God by telling others about Him. We mustn't keep God a secret from the world that so desperately needs Him. He expects us to share His message with others. The Bible states, as God's grace brings more and more people to Christ, God will receive more and more glory. Jesus was faced with a difficult decision towards the end of his 3-year ministry. Would he fulfill his purpose and bring glory to God? Or would he look for the comfortable way out? We know what our Lord did. We too are faced with similar decisions to make. Will we choose comfort and pleasure? Or will we live the rest of our lives for God's glory, knowing what He has promised us? Are we going to live for ourselves or for God? The decision is ours. Amen.